of the phrases I love the most in that entire song is the verse that says, "You hold the key to love and fear, all in your trembling hand. Just one key unlocks them both. It's where? It's at your command." That's one of the greatest truisms there is. There's only love and there's just fear. And you, I, have the choice because I have that one key. And how does it unlock either door? It's by my command. My command is my word, my attention. Where am I putting my attention? My word is going to be upon either fear or love. So preparing for today's talk was an interesting interesting. Why? Well, because we have various events that are all happening, and they're rather big events for some of us. One of them is today, which is what? Super Bowl?
Sunday.
It's Super Bowl Sunday. And then this Wednesday, February 14th, is what? Valentine's Day. It also is the beginning of something called Lent. And then if we want to throw another one in there, we can say, well, tomorrow is Abraham Lincoln's 215th birthday. Just, you know. So I took on this challenge of combining those three. I'm not going to honor Abe. Sorry, Abe. I know, it's heartbreaking. So I'm going to begin with Lent, and we'll be moving through these and how they come together. Come together. Just another part of this. So actually, the word Lent, Mom, comes from the Anglo-Saxon word for spring, which is derived from a verb, which means to lengthen. So basically, Lent always comes in the spring when days are becoming noticeably longer. The annual season of fasting and prayer and penitence has been observed by the Western Church since the first century after Christ. The first day of Lent is called Ash Wednesday. This coming Wednesday, from the custom that prevailed in the early church, from the sprinkling of ashes on the heads on the first day of Lent. And this was in a token of repentance for sin. Now, we do not teach sin, that you're born a sinner and that you must repent from your sins. The metaphysical interpretation, repent means to turn away, from. And a sin is erroneous thinking. So I'm turning away from erroneous thinking, thinking about fear, worries, doubts, because it's not the truth. Ash Wednesday comes 46 days before Easter. There are six Sundays in Lent, but they are not considered part of Lent. Why? Because the Western Church always had Sunday as a feast day. Well, that's good news, because otherwise we couldn't have a potluck, right, on Sundays. We can have our feast. So, co-founder, what's his name? Charles Fillmore of Unity. It was one of those mind things. I've got a lot going on here. So, co-founder Charles Fillmore, he has an entire booklet called The True Lent, Keeping the True Lent. And he talks about the first day, Ash Wednesday, the word is denial. He says, again, that Ash Wednesday is from the symbolizing the ashes of repentance or turning away. And I think about ashes, it's like, well, I'm burned up those negative thoughts, and so I'm not going to entertain them. Here's an acronym for Lent. Let's end negative thinking. Let's all say that. Let's end negative thinking. Because that's what Lent's about. Oftentimes people do things like they give up a physical type food. They give up smoking or drinking. It might be they give up meat. They give up chocolate or sweets. But we're talking more about what we're doing. What are we letting go on the inner world? John the Baptist came saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Again, repentance means denial. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. When they come, I'm like, no, I'm going to go for the truth. He writes, "I deny out of consciousness old error thoughts, as if I were gently sweeping away cobwebs," I like that analogy, "and firmly and positively affirm that I am a child of God, that I am the divine in expression. I turn away from the beliefs in negation. I turn away from fears, doubts, and worries." And so it's about fasting and feasting. And the fasting, we're fasting from, and fasting means to abstain from negative thoughts, from thinking I'm not good enough, I can't do that, fears, doubts, and worries, maybe about the country, things that are going on in the world. It's so easy to get caught up in the news. And did you know that the news that you watch is not really what all is happening in the world? What the news is, they're showing you what is out of the ordinary. That changes things, because when you see the news, you kind of go, well, the whole world's a wreck. Well, the whole world is not a wreck. It's that is showing us what is out of order, what is not working. Anyway, I digress, obviously. So back to fasting and feasting. So I'm going to fast. I'm not going to give attention to. And what are you going to feast on? You're feasting on truth. What is the truth? Well, you can go back to the five principles. I just finished a series on it. The Five Principles of Unity book by Ellen Debenport. Those are truth principles. It says that Lent is the season for fasting and feasting. It is not about so much about fasting from specific foods or actions, as much as it is from fasting from our limiting thoughts, erroneous thoughts, thoughts of lack or separation. Lent is about fasting from limiting thoughts that we are anything less than the divine, and it's about feasting on the truth that we truly are the divine in expression. This is what I've been talking about these last previous weeks. As we replace erroneous thoughts about the truth of God as who we truly are, we become the love that God is. We become the love that God is love. We're expressions of love. Now, there's your segue into the Valentine's Day. Okay? So we're expressions of love. And Valentine's Day typically is when we do things for those that we love. We buy them cards. We buy them flowers or candy. You go on a date. You spend time with your beloved. You know, my mom used to send me a Valentine's Day card. It's an expression of that love. However, there's also the greatest love of all, which is what? To love. Whitney says it, so the greatest love of all is to love ourselves. To love ourselves. It's important to love ourselves. Jesus, the great metaphysical teacher and way shower, said there's only two things you have to do: to love the Lord thy God, to love, basically, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second one is to love your neighbors as yourself. Okay? So, do you love all neighbors like yourself? No. I see people that being honest, no. So, let me just ask you this. How many times do you ever compare yourself to someone else? Ever critical of yourself? Ever critical of others? Oh, heavens no. We're a spiritual community. We would never be critical of another. Well, here's the truth. Immanuel Kant says, we can never see others as they are. We can only see others as we are. Sorry to burst your bubble on that. So when you see something that you don't like in somebody else, it's actually a trait you don't like and you haven't learned to love that part of us. See, what happens is we have low vibrational selves. We have a shadow. And the shadow is always, usually, has a need that's not being met. Okay? There's a lot more I can say about it, but you'll have to come back next Sunday. The truth is, everybody is a mirror unto us. And some days I like what I see in the mirror, and then some days I'm like, oh, heavens no. But that is where the spiritual work comes. I need to learn to love the part of me that is that person's expression. It doesn't mean I'm acting on it, but I have the capability of being a terrorist. Terrorist in my own mind, okay? You ever hate somebody? Yeah, next week's talk. So in the meantime, until next Sunday, Valentine's Day, I'm going to encourage you to make loving yourself the goal. To buy yourself a Valentine's Day card. To buy yourself flowers, chocolate, a favorite meal. Take yourself out on a date. Or you could say, I'm going on the date with the divine, because you are the divine. And here's one for you. Write a love letter to spirit. Write a love letter to God, to your higher power. What a thought. And then have your beloved God self write a letter back to you, a love letter back. This is what I'm going to encourage us all to do, is to make loving ourselves this Valentine's Day our goal. Goal. Oh, sounds like a Super Bowl goal. So, yes, now we're moving into the Super Bowl. This was fun, and maybe it's fun for you. I don't know. But the goal. So, Super Bowl. How many of you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan? Okay, got a few of you. Who is a San Francisco 49ers fan? Okay. How many of you are a fan of the commercials? By the way, do you know how much money they spend for a 30-second commercial? I looked it up. $7 million for a 30-second commercial. I'm sorry, I can digress off of that, but I'm going to try not to. What is wrong with our world? What could we do with all those commercials that are 30 seconds that $7 million went into? We have such a materialistic world, and we could be doing something else with that money, but hey, never mind. Another talk, another day. So how many of you are not a fan of football at all? Excellent. It's all good. So here's the thing. Whether you are a fan or not of any sports, did you know that there is a Super Bowl that is playing right now, that is playing every day, 24/7. It is playing every day of the year. It is playing, the Super Bowl of life is playing. It is your life. You didn't know maybe that you are in a Super Bowl of your life. Where is the Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the 49ers being played in the physical? Las Vegas, right? The Allegiant Field. The Super Bowl of life is played on the playing field of your mind. Okay, we're using the Super Bowl of your life, the analogy. And I'm going to take you through the Super Bowl in this way. So the Super Bowl of life is played here. And there's two teams. There's Team Love. And there's Team Fear, and I think I heard a remnants of that idea earlier. Team Fear is based in conditions, circumstances. Team Fear is based on limiting beliefs, fear, doubt, worry, common hour thinking, illusions, lies, judgments, constriction, stagnation, and survival. That is what Team Fear is about. On the other hand, there's Team Love that is based in truth and vision and spirit. It's life-enhancing and empowering. It is about growth, evolution, and upliftment, expansion. It is about thriving and creativity and fulfillment. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross writes, there are only two emotions, love and fear. All positive emotions come from love. All negative emotions from fear. From love flows happiness and contentment, peace and joy. From fear comes anger, hate, anxiety, and guilt. It's true that there are only two primary emotions, love and fear. But it's more accurate to say that love or fear. We cannot feel these two emotions at the very same time. They're opposites. When I'm in fear, I'm not in a place of love. When I'm in a place of love and trust, I am not, can't be in fear. And Neil Donald Walsh says, every human thought, word, or deed is based in fear or in love. Fear is that energy that constricts, closes down, draws in, hoards, and harms. Love is the energy that expands, opens up, sends out, reveals, shares, and heals. You have the free choice about which one of these to select. So which team do you want to be on? Right? So the question is, in your life, which one is operating more? And there's different parts of your life. Maybe in some parts of your life, you're operating more from love. In some areas, you're operating in fear. Maybe you have fear that health or money or it's a relationship, there's fear. But there's other areas of life, you're feeling the love. You're experiencing the upliftment. So the question is, which team are you on? Now, I'm going to give you a little more of the analogy because you need to know. So what is the football in this analogy? The football is your ideal dream vision life. What you would love. What you would love to be, do, experience, and have in your life, in every area of your life, in health, in relationships, in money and time freedom, in your vocation or purpose. The football is your dream. Now the question is, do you have a dream? Many of us don't. At the beginning of the year, I shared that there was an opportunity for you to actually write down your dream, because without a dream or a vision, you may have heard, the people will perish. How can you go anywhere in life when you have no dream, no vision? I have a sheet that I reprinted today. It's called What's in Store for 2024. And this is 10 areas of life. I have them available out there. And if you're in the cyber sanctuary, you can email me to say, I would like one of these. Because without your football, there is no game. And the truth is, you can be a spectator in your life. Okay? Mary Morrissey in Prosperity Plus teaches us that we are always creating our lives. You're creating your life, whether you know it or not. Because our lives are being created by what we think and what we believe. And you're either creating it by design or by default. A default life is when you're sitting on the sidelines and you don't have a vision. And you're going to continue having what you're having, and that's fine. There's no judgment. Or you have it by design, and that's where you take the time to say, what would I love? And you might think, and you'll have team fear wanting to interfere with this whole process. In fact, if you're not putting your vision down, it's probably because team fear is going, no, you don't want to do that, because your life might change. And the team fear wants to keep you safe and in what you know. Doesn't want you to stretch. But see, life is ever seeking a freer, fuller, more expanded expression of itself as you, as you, as you. It is that life force that is always seeking a greater expression of itself. And team fear wants us to survive and be safe and stay comfortable. So, are you going to have a vision, have a football, be in life by design? And what is the purpose? Now I've got my vision. Let's say you've taken your time to do such. Well, you're going to get to the end zone. That is the goal. I'm going for the end zone. What's in the end zone is the manifestation, the materialization, the realization of your dream. So you score every time. It's like, here's my vision, and I'm going to move down the field of my life, and I got there, and I have manifested my perfect partner, or money, or health, or purpose. I'm living it now. Okay? So that is the goal, having your vision, your dream. First of all, you got to have it, and then you go for it. Now, you got players on the field, and they're all roles that you play in your own life. And the first role, the most important, is which position? What do you think is the most important in the realm of football? Quarterback. I thought you'd say that. However, I'm going to say it's the coach. The coach. The quarterback needs to be tapped into the coach. You know, in the helmet, there is a little speaker. And the coach is telling him what play to go about. So in your life, are you listening to the still small voice of your inner coach? That comes first. Do I listen to my still small voice, my inner coach, which is giving me plays so that I can advance down that field and score and have those things? Spirit wants me to have those things that I desire, because the desires you have aren't even your desires. They're Spirit's desires. Spirit wants to have love by means of you, wants to have money by means of you, time and money, freedom, a purpose in life by means of you. Spirit wants us, and I got to be listening. And then you have the other folks. You have the quarterback who has to be paying attention, listening and following the direction. And all of the players need to have one thing, and that's called focus. Okay? The quarterback needs to have focus and awareness of what's going on the field of life, and needs to have accuracy when they throw that pass or hand it off. They're paying attention. And they have accuracy and attention. Then you've got the running backs and the receivers. And they're strong and they're powerful. And they're always looking for where's the opening? Or how do I got to be really focused to catch some of those passes. Crazy, right? They catch things. You sit there and go, my God, he caught that. But they're intent and they're focused. And they're on it, and they're powerful, and they are going to get to that end zone because they are committed. Then you have, very important, your guards and your blockers. They're out there trying to protect the quarterback, the running backs, the receivers. They're blocking team fear. They're intercepting those negative thoughts and fears. They're stopping those fears from getting to the person who has the ball. Okay, so you with me? Are you in the game? Yeah? You're going to have a vision and get there? So it's all about having that focus, having that dream, and going for it. Now, in truth, in life, when you're playing football, there's times where you're making advances and you're scoring, and there's times when you get sacked or you lose ground. Question is, do you stay down when you lose ground? Or do you get back up and stay in it to win it? No, things are going to knock you down. Those fears, doubts, and worries are going to jump in there and take me off. But I'm going to get back up. I'm going to climb that mountain. I'm going to get to the goal, right? And here's the truth. When you have a goal, it's not so much about getting the thing that you have the goal of, as much as it is the person you become in the process. It's about you becoming who you really are as you're going for the goal. University of Santa Monica, their analogy was, you have a goal and you're going for it. And yet you run into a block. And then you drop down to what is called the becoming line. This is the goal line. This is the becoming line. It's about climbing, going for the goal, climbing the mountains, getting back up, and going for it because of who it helps you become. The divine, wonderful, awesome, and amazing being that you already are. That is the purpose. And so may we all be winners in the Super Bowl of life. Climb it, go for it, and become that which you already are. You're doing it, and I'm proud of you. And let's score. Woohoo! And so it is.